Hey there, I want to take a quick second to thank you for listening to the Focus Point podcast. I hope that you find a blessing and encouragement through this episode. I hope that you'll share the episode with your family and your friends. If this is one of your first times catching us, or if you want to find out more about us, or if you want to listen to other episodes, please visit thepointoffocus.com, and there you will find our podcast archive as well as more information. Once again, that's thepointoffocus.com, and once again, I thank you for listening to this episode. We are in the home stretch of our Journey to the Promised Land series. I'm excited. Grab your Bibles, get them open, whether they're paper or electronic. Joshua chapter 6 is where we'll be as we continue on in our Strong series. Now, for those that may be newer or maybe confused a little bit about what I just said, well, we are actually in two different series as we've been going through the first six books of the Old Testament. So at the beginning of the year, and back in January, we started a series called Journey to the Promised Land. And we started with the book of Genesis, and we've been going through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and now we're in Joshua in a series called Strong. But throughout those different books, we did other little series along the way, keeping the idea of this journey to the Promised Land. So we've been in one series all year, but it's been full of little shorter series along the way. And so today we're continuing on in that series in the book of Joshua. And we are going to be in Joshua chapter 6. And one of the things that I wanted to bring back is what we talked a little bit about last week. As we're looking at Joshua 6, but these instructions that God gave him, he had to find the spot where he could hear God. And we talked a little bit about that last week. So I want to encourage you, if you didn't listen to last week, go ahead and listen to that. If you did and you're still trying to figure it out, I'm encouraging you again to find that whispering spot, to find the spot where you can hear God talk to you. And that way you know what God has for you and what God would have for you and what God would want you to do in any situation. And whether as you continue going down the road to your promised land, as you continue on in your journey. And so we see this as Joshua made space. He got on his knees and fell down before God as God instructed him about what was going to happen with this Battle of Jericho. And it's one of the more familiar stories in the Bible. And we are going to see a couple different things that I want to bring out of this story that I believe God has for us as we continue on in this Journey to the Promised Land series. Because now this is officially, now we're in like the battle part of the book of Joshua. In the next couple episodes, we're going to see a few different battles that they've had, as now they've reached the promised land. We saw that when they crossed the Jordan a couple episodes ago, back in Joshua 3 and 4, we saw them cross the Jordan, and now they're in the promised land. But I've been saying, since just because we've reached our promised land, just because we've reached our goals or our dreams, and that's kind of like the working idea that we've been using in this Journey to the Promised Land series, is really, it was a goal that they had, right? It was a dream that they had. And we all have dreams and we all have goals. And we all can learn from this entire series different things, what to do, what not to do, as we're journeying to our promised lands. And when we get there, that doesn't mean that the journey's over. And that's what happens here. As Joshua and the Israelites have now entered the promised land, they still have battles to face. They still have work to do. And so I've been saying that just because we reach our promised land, we reach our dreams, we reach our goals, doesn't mean that the battle is done. It doesn't mean that it's over yet. So Joshua now has gotten the command from God, right? We saw that a little bit last week. We're going to read it again here in Joshua chapter 6. And he's got a choice. We've been looking at choices and consequences throughout this entire thing. We really haven't used that that wording, but we've seen choices and consequences throughout this entire series as well. But here, comes this choice and this part of Israel's journey. As we've seen too, this new generation of Israelites has been listening to God a little bit better than the previous generation. And so we've seen them have a little bit of success as they've done what God asked them to do, and they've been following faithfully, and they've been listening to Joshua. So let's see what God commands Israel to do and how they are going to defeat Jericho. And it says here, Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites, and no one was allowed to go in." So this echoes a couple things, and I said this briefly last week, but this echoes what Rahab said, that they've heard what God has done with the Red Sea, so everybody's been in fear. Joshua chapter 5, we see it again, where like all the kings, actually I'll read it right now, it says, "All the Amorite kings west of the Jordan, Canaanite kings that lived along the Mediterranean coast, heard how the Lord dried up the Jordan River, and they lost heart and were paralyzed with fear because of them." So Jericho is on lockdown, okay? Jericho is tightly shut because of this Israelite people and because of what Rahab said. Rahab said that we know that God's giving you this city. Everybody's afraid of you. So we'll pick up in verse 2, and it says, "But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing their horns. When you hear the priest give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can, and the walls of the town will collapse, and the people can charge straight into town." So, once again, we're setting the scene here, okay? And it sounds kind of weird. It's like, what, we're not going to get our spears and our cannons or whatever. They don't think they had cannon. I don't know. But like, we're not going to get our spears and our swords and whatever else. We're just going to walk around the city? That sounds kind of confusing, right? So verse 6. Joshua had a little bit of concern, right? Like, I mean, that's all we're going to do to take down this big city? We're just going to march around it, and the walls are going to fall down? Verse 6, it says, "So Joshua called together the priest and said, take up the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, and assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave orders to the people, march around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the Ark of the Lord. After Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with the ram's horn started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched. And the Ark of the Covenant followed behind them. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priest with the horns, and some behind the ark with the priest, and continually blowing their horns. Don't shout, do not even talk, Joshua commanded. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then you shout. And the Ark of the Lord was carried around the town once a day, and everyone returned to spend the night in the camp." Now, I've been reading this a little bit, and I've always told the story, and there's some, like, when you read that, it's kind of, okay, so was it just the army and the priest doing it the one time? But it kind of, as you read it, it kind of lends that it was a lot, everybody, maybe. So I don't know, like, you can kind of see it, and I've often kind of battled that after years of telling this story. But right now it says, so don't shout, right? Everybody be quiet. And then they did it. And then they get up the next morning in verse 12. And the 7 priests with the ram's horn march in front of the ark, blowing their horn. And all the, so it kind of repeats itself. And they followed this pattern for 6 days. They returned to camp, got up, marched, returned to camp, got up, marched, returned to camp, got up, marched. So, verse 15, "On the 7th day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before." And that verse right there kind of indicates that everybody had been doing it, even though it seems like there's some different instructions a little bit. So, that as you kind of read and you piece it all together, it kind of eventually involves everybody. But it says, on the seventh day, Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before. But this time they went around the town seven times. The seventh... Now, before we read any more, I want to note here that this was probably tiring. I'm sure maybe the old generation of Israelites came out. Maybe they complained. Maybe it was hot. Maybe they wanted water. Maybe their feet hurt. Maybe they were just tired. Then went back to camp, and they did it again. Jericho wasn't a small city. No telling how long it took them to walk around it even once. And now they're getting ready to walk around it seven times. And I wonder if they started that grumbling a little bit. Started to maybe lose heart, maybe? Even though God said that this is the way it's going to be. So at this point, it takes strong and courageous faith. Right, as we've been talking about, it takes that strong and courageous faith to do this. That God's going to keep his promises, as they've seen. And it seems like this generation of Israelites is listening to God a little bit more. They're starting to observe what God has done for them. That's why I said it's hard to say. Maybe they were complaining. I mean, human beings, even though like you can see an outcome, right? Like, you're still going to, like, oh, it's a lot of work. Man, ugh. I don't want, the complaining may still come out, even though you know what's coming. And if Israel saw how God did what he said with the Jordan River, and he said he's going to knock these walls down when they walk around it seven times and shout, maybe they complained a little bit because they knew what was coming and they just were tired. Or maybe they didn't complain at all. It's hard to say. But they have to be tiring. But it had to be tiring. Verse 16, it says, then the seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the town. Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and others in her house will be spared, for she protected our spies. Don't take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed. That's important to keep in mind as you remember this. Okay, that was a command. We're going to see it next week, but it's in a different kind of situation, but a same kind of situation. And completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. That's going to echo back to this whole idea of this choice right here. Now, they have a choice, and it's important to realize the choice that they have here. Either do what Joshua said and don't take anything and all of that, you know, or do it and see what happens kind of thing and cause trouble for everybody. Verse 19, everything made from silver, gold, bronze, iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horn, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into town and captured it. They completely destroyed everything with their swords, men, women, young and old, cattle, sheep, goats, and donkeys. Meanwhile, Joshua said to the two spies, keep your promise, go to the prostitute's house and bring her out, along with all her family. The men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brother, and all the relatives who were with her. They moved her whole family to a safe place near the camp of Israel. The Israelites burned the town and everything in it. Only things made from silver, gold, bronze, and iron were kept for the treasury of the Lord's house. So Joshua spared Rahab and her relatives who were in her house, because she had hidden the spies sent to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. And right here at the end, verse 27, and it says, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his reputation spread throughout the land. and we're going to see next week is actually was the story. I thought it was another battle, but it is another battle that, so I'm kind of foreshadowing a little bit of discussion of what we're going to talk about next week, and it involves verse 15, and I want to read, actually, yeah, I want to read verse 18 again, and it says, "Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourself shall be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble into the camp of Israel." Remember that as we going on into next week, and this this story, and it says once again, so the Lord was with Joshua. We saw at the beginning, you know, the Lord was with Joshua, so he succeeded. I mean, we saw it with Joseph. The Lord was with him, he succeeded in everything that he did. And now we see this take place. But one of the things that I want to bring up is they didn't stop short. And I could talk about the number 7 in the Bible, 7 days of creation, 7 colors of the rainbow, 7 statements that Jesus said from the cross, 7 times around Jericho, and all of this stuff. And 7 is a very key and important number in the Bible. It just means it's kind of completion. It's complete. Right? When Jesus said the 7 things from the cross, it was complete, and he died on the cross. So my thing that I saw is don't stop short. Sometimes I feel like we miss out on some things. And me too. I'm not just saying I feel like we miss out on some things because we stop short. We get tired of the process. We get tired of the work. We get tired of what seems to be endless, not like succeeding, endless like trouble or whatever it is. It just seems like we're not going anywhere, and it doesn't seem like the steps we're taking are actually doing anything or going anywhere for us. And we get tired and we grow weary and we stop short. You know, and I think about this story and I use my imagination. It's like you have to be in Jericho. So you got to use your imagination with this. Imagine what Jericho was seeing. The residents of Jericho as they looked out of their windows, or they kind of looked over the wall, and they see these people just marching around. And you wonder what they're doing, right? It's like it's got to be confusing, maybe funny. They think that marching around this city is going to knock down our walls. Is that what's going to happen? They're just going to be able. And you have to think about that. Like, it has to come into your mind when you see, like, I mean, imagine, like, if somebody was coming to, like, take over your house, for example, and they just walked around your house every day for 6 days, and then they did it 7 times on the 7th day. But imagine what happens when those people, when that happens and the walls start to shake and all of a sudden everything just kind of falls down. But imagine Israel now. They've done this, and they've marched around Jericho, and then they went back home, and they went to bed, and they got up, and they marched around Jericho, and for a week, they did this. Then on the 7th day, they marched all those times again, plus one more. And what if just along the way, they got tired? You know, what if it's just like, you know what, Joshua, we don't just feel like marching anymore. I don't want to do it. I can't do it anymore. We're just gonna, can it just be 6 times? And then they blow the horn, and then we like all of that. Like, what if they would have stopped short? What if they would have gotten tired on trip number 6? What if like, and you think about it, and it's like, well, it's clear, right? God wouldn't have done what he said because they didn't have the strong and courageous faith to keep going, even though they were tired. They had to have been tired. Like, sometimes I'm capable of doing it too. So, like, when I'm talking about these certain things, like, I'm including myself, like, we look at these people like they're some kind of pedestal people, like they're porcelain, or like they didn't have any troubles or issues or whatever, right? And we kind of look at them like they're invincible or like they didn't have any pains or problems or anything like that. And they had to have gotten tired. I mean, imagine just marching around like the downtown area of your city that you live in, just around and around and around, however big it is, right? One time, and then go home and you rest and you get up and you do it again and you do it all. You would be eventually tired. You would be tired of walking. You'd be tired of the same old scenery. Your feet would hurt. Your back would hurt, you know, all of this stuff. And you would be tired. What if Israel just gave up? They wouldn't have saw what God was going to do for them if they gave up. And sometimes I wonder if we do the same thing. If we are so close, like it's literally right around the corner, we just have a few more steps to take, but we get discouraged, we get tired, we get weary, we get upset, we get angry, whatever it is, and we don't make it to the corner, and we sit down in the middle of the sidewalk, and we just stay there, wondering why God isn't doing anything, when His blessing or His help, the one thing that we need maybe is right around that next corner, but we stopped short. We tend to do this, and I know because I've done it. We take a few steps and we don't want to keep going, but we should. We never know how close we are to something. We could be right there, right on the edge of something new, right on the edge of a breakthrough, right on the edge of that promotion, right on the edge of that goal or that dream that we've been having. If Israel would have stopped short, they would not have taken Jericho that day. They would not have reached that goal. And so that's my encouragement for us today is don't stop short. Keep going, even when someone else gets the promotion and you thought you were going to get it, but they give it to somebody else, or even if someone else gets the job that you were hoping to get, or even if the raise that you were hoping to get doesn't quite turn up to be what you thought it was going to be, keep going, because you don't know what God has for us. Maybe what we thought isn't what really God has for us or what God desires for us, because God has plans for us too. And God alters and God makes our steps. Like, we can have all the plans and the dreams we want. As a matter of fact, God encourages that. God wants us to have dreams. God wants us to have plans. But He alters our steps. He makes our steps. And His plans are good for us. They're not meant to hurt us. They're not meant for disaster. And God just wants us to succeed. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that. And sometimes we lose heart and we grow weary and we just stop short. So that's my encouragement that I've got from this is don't stop short. You never know what that next step has. We've said it a lot of times on throughout this series, taking steps toward our dreams, our goals, toward God, all of that, or we can take steps away. Sometimes the steps though that we're taking doesn't seem like they're getting us anywhere. It seems like we're on one of those moving floorways, like the little like conveyor belt floors in the airports and stuff. I don't even know what they're called. I'm just making up stuff as I go along here, but you know what I'm talking about. Like, you get on there and it just kind of, and away you go. It just feels like we're not like going anywhere on that kind of thing, especially if we're like walking the wrong way on them, right? It's easy if we're going like sometimes life, we're going that way. I don't know if you've ever walked on one of those, but I have, and it just feels like you're running when you're just walking, and it's really cool. But if you get on those backwards, like you're walking and you feel like you're making no progress or very little progress. So Don't stop short. You never know what's right there. You never know what's around the corner. And God's always looking out for us. God's fighting for us. As this story proves, as we've seen in just in the Strong series, We've seen how God is working for them and that people know it. People are afraid of Israel. And so I hope that you'll come back next week as we continue on in this series, as we continue on, as we continue to march toward landing the plane here, as we finish out this series. But I hope that you'll find the strength and the faith to keep going, to take one more step, to look at whatever it is and take that one more step and see what's there, and take that one more step and see what's there, because you never know what step is the seventh step. You never know what step is the final step. So keep going, take that encouragement with you, and come back next week as we continue on with this strong series. We'll see you next week.